God didn't choose the vaunted halls of academia or the world's gold and silver, nor the mighty armies of powerful nations. Neither did he choose beauty or strength or IQ as the measure by which to participate in the marvels of the mind of Christ. No, he chose faith, a spiritual product, a word product, and every man has been dealt a measure of it. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. It can't be done. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 14:23 declares the faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The faith standard is established in Genesis in the very beginning. Adam and Eve dwelt in paradise, happy and immortal, by their faith in God's word. But when unbelief and its following disobedience arose, immortality was lost, and our parents were booted out of paradise. The law of sin and death began to reign. It is quite noteworthy that reclaiming immortality in paradise is achieved by a simple reversal of the current carnal condition. That means that instead of unbelief and disobedience, it is faith and obedience in Christ Jesus, and the astounding marvels of born again becomes ours. At born again, we again begin to participate in the glorious, incomprehensible, and magnificent mind of Christ, God's only begotten Son. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again? It's the only way to see the kingdom of God, and it can only be accomplished in Jesus Christ. Acts 2:4-10-12, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus speaks in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Just imagine, today, you can participate in the greatest miracle man can know. In just moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt. And if you follow from your heart, everything changes for you today. Today, you will literally be born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will become a new creature. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one. Such a stupendous offer stands before you. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject. God said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God said, Proverbs 30:6, and add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God said, Isaiah 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Man said, where are all the God-inspired truths in Genesis? Quickly point them out to me. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1266, that will once again certify the marvelous supernatural veracity of God's beautiful book, His Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification, and his ammunition in the battle for the lost and bound sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with light and truth. You have arrived at the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. This is part 46. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature. According to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan, Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths, end of quote. I recently reviewed an advertisement from a magazine called Free Inquiry that also has a problem with the God of creation and the first book of the Bible called Genesis. Under the heading, "Is God Big Enough for the Universe?" Free Inquiry writes, "The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and earth in less than a week. This feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors, even though they thought the heavens extended only so far as the sky above them. Of course, they did not know what stars, planets, or galaxies were. We now know that the universe is so much bigger and so much more complex," end of quote. The born-again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? I suppose they did. But God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said, Man Said series will be called the Genesis series. It is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. The challenge was, if God did in fact author the Bible, why didn't he include God-inspired truths in Genesis, the Bible's very first book? This is the first in a bullet point, multi-part summation of the Genesis series, which will be formatted in an instant replay fashion. If you haven't, take some time to visit the features reviewed. You will not be wasting time. This information is staggering. Feature number one, from the very first verse. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Seems simple enough. There was the beginning. Famed chronologist Bishop Usher has the beginning pegged as Sunday, the first day of the week, September 21, 4004 B.C., on the current Gregorian calendar. Some might be surprised to know that until the 1960s, the wisest among us, academic evolutionist, who claim your first cousin was a mushroom, by the way, simply did not believe that the earth had a beginning. It simply always was. Buddha taught that the world had no perceived beginning or ending, and thus was the circle of life. Evolutionists have now concluded that the earth did in fact have a beginning, just like the Bible said, in the beginning. Only they don't say that part, do they? The earth and its universe are just over 6,000 years old. If the earth and its universe are 13 billion years old, why does everything of note happen in the last 6,000 years or just 0.000000036 of time? Crazy. How just all of a sudden? Human DNA diversity all happened in the last 5,000 years. According to Science News, 3,000 to 5,000 years ago witnessed the rise of metalworking, writing systems, and other signature features of urban civilization. Also cited in Science News, the nomadic Yamanaya people reshaped Central and Northern European DNA beginning about 5,100 years ago, speaking an Indo-European language, spawning more than 400 languages. Both groups were surprised at the findings. Think Tower of Babel. The headline in the March 2, 2019 issue of Science News reads, "Pandas didn't always stick to bamboo," the subhead. "Specialized diet may have emerged in the last 5,000 years. Carl and Leitner report in the spring 2016 issue of Creation Research Society Quarterly the following. Evolutionists placed a time frame of when mitochondrial Eve lived by assuming common ancestry between humans and chimps and the evolutionary time scale. However, when measured mutation rates in mitochondrial DNA were used, Eve was calculated to have lived around 6,000 years ago. Of course, the evolutionists do not accept this time frame, so they have sought ways around the implications. More recent in-depth analysis of mitochondrial DNA has upheld this biblical time frame from humans and found the same pattern in other organisms as well. And Gibbons writes in January 2, 1998, issue of Science in the feature titled Calibrating the Mitochondrial Clock. Regardless of the cause, evolutionists are most concerned about the effect of a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated that the mitochondrial Eve, the woman whose mtDNA was ancestral to that in all living people, lived 100 to 2,000 years ago in Africa. Using the new clock, she would be a mere 6,000 years old, end quote. In the October 2017 issue of Discover Magazine, you'll find the following under 20 Things You Didn't Know About Animal Domestication. Chicken domestication dates back 4,000 years or so. Domesticated horses date to 5,500 years ago. Cats were domesticated in 4,400 BC. Sheep, goats, pigs, humpless cattle were domesticated under 10,500 years ago. Some of the numbers are inflated, but you get the idea all of a sudden. Pigeons were domesticated 5,000 years ago. The oldest known plague occurred about 5,700 years ago, according to the January 19, 2019 issue of Science News. Finally, there is no recorded history that exceeds 5,000 years. The obvious reason is that the Earth is young and there is no history from before it was created. Feature number two, let there be light. God said, Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was light spoken into position by God on the first day when the sun, the moon, and the stars were not created until the fourth day. Science now theorizes that there was light before the sun, just like the Bible records. 1 John 1:5 tells us God is light. Science now claims that light is immortal, and he is. Science claims that at the speed of light, time stopped. And this gives new meaning to the eternal God of light in Exodus 3:14, where God speaks of himself and says to Moses, I am that I am. God is light and God is timeless. Science now knows that energy, photons, light packages from the sun creates all physical things. It's true, of course, because our Creator is light. Visit this feature for so much, much more. Feature number three. A tropical paradise. Amazing. In Genesis 1:6 through 8, the Bible describes a water canopy above the sky that surrounds the earth. Creation scientists postulate that such a water canopy would have created a global greenhouse effect where tropical temperatures would be maintained on the entire earth and every day would be a beautiful postcard perfect sky. Sound just too bizarre? Then consider these excerpts. According to an AP science writer, and I quote, the frigid Arctic regions were as balmy as present-day Florida some 90 million years ago, according to researchers who found fossils in northern Canada of a crocodile-like animal. The AP science writer was only half right. Balmy temperatures, yes, 90 million years ago, no. The following is from the Genesis Flood by Whitcomb and Morris. In a book titled The Waters Above by author J.C. Dillow, the following excerpts were found. Baron Toll, the Arctic explorer, found remains of saber-toothed tiger and a 90-foot plum tree with green leaves and ripe fruit on its branches over 600 miles north of the Arctic Circle and the New Siberian Islands. Today, the only vegetation that grows there is a 1-inch-high willow, end of quote. Again, Dillow reports. Dr. Jack A. Wolf, in a U.S. Geological Survey report in 1978, told that Alaska once teemed with tropical plants. He found evidence of mangroves, palm trees, Burmese lacquer trees, and groups of trees that now produce nutmeg and Macassar oil, end of quote. in northern Siberia and Alaska, there are an estimated 5 million elephant-like mammoths killed by a flood and frozen in ice and permafrost. A global water canopy, even a global greenhouse, complete with balmy temperatures the world over, and every day a beautiful postcard perfect sky. That's exactly what they had. Secular scientists are puzzled over what they are discovering. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, North Pole Tropical Discovered Again. A flurry of news releases tout new discoveries during a 2004 drilling expedition into the floor of the Arctic Ocean. A May 31, 2006 headline from the Associated Press reads, Scientists, Arctic once had tropical climate. The May 31, 2006 headline at Pravda Ru reads, 55 million years ago, the Arctic was tropical. Finally, the May 31, 2006 headline of Purdue University News reads, North Pole's ancient past holds clues about future global warming and the poles. Globally, yes, and millions of years, no. Pravda Ru. Scientists have found what might have been the ideal ancient vacation hotspot with a 74-degree Fahrenheit average temperature, alligator ancestors, and palm trees. It's smack in the middle of the Arctic. Core samples dug up from deep beneath the Arctic Ocean floor show that 55 million years ago, an area near the North Pole was practically a subtropical paradise. Three new studies show, end of quote. The Bible's global greenhouse also explains other biblical truths that have fueled the foolishness of the skeptics. For instance, the average lifespan before the flood of Noah when the canopy cascaded down upon the earth was 912 years, or 13 times longer than today. Man lived in paradise conditions with perfect water, perfect air, perfect food, all while being blocked from the ultraviolet killer rays from the sun, which participates in most major diseases, if not all of them. If men lived 13 times longer, and even ancient historians attest to this truth, then we would assume that other creatures would also live longer. For example, reptiles live to old ages and they never stop growing. The older the reptile, the bigger the reptile, growing faster in the beginning and slower as it ages, but always growing. Now, just for simple concept's sake, let's assume the Chinese monitor lizard, which presently reaches 12 feet in length, lived 13 times longer. 13 times 12 is 156 feet long and about three stories tall. A giant lizard. Now, why does that sound familiar? The word dinosaur simply means terrible lizard. Visit the subject. You will be convinced. Feature number four. Staggering truth only the children can know. Genesis chapter 1, 9 through 13 speaks of God separating the water from the land, and then dry land appeared as well as part of God's creation formula. The key words in this passage are after his kind. Dr. Henry M. Morse, founder of the world-renowned Institute for Creation Research, wrote the following regarding the earth and its vegetation, along with God's use of the word kind, in the commentary of the Henry Morse Study Bible. The seed which God designed guaranteed reproduction of each plant after his kind. This phrase, repeated 9 more times in Genesis chapter 1, after this first occurrence, obviously precludes transmutation of one kind into another. The seed was programmed for stable reproduction of each kind through a remarkable system known today as the genetic code, the complex information program in the DNA molecule. This system allows wide horizontal variation within the kind, but no vertical evolution from one kind into a more complex kind. It is significant that, despite widespread belief in evolution, no scientist has yet documented a single instance of true vertical evolution occurring today. The modern equivalent of kind is probably broader than the species in many cases, since the latter term is an arbitrary man-made category. That is, the many varieties of dogs are all part of the created dog kind, just as all tribes and nations of men constitute one mankind, Acts 17:25 and 26. It should also be noted that plant life in all its forms was created before animal life, thus contradicting the order postulated by evolutionists. There are over 20 such contradictions between the order of creation in Genesis and that in evolutionary paleontology, end of quote. Keep in mind the above passage, Genesis 1, 9 through 13, took place on the third day of creation. On day two, God removed some of the earth's water and positioned it above the earth, which some creation scientists have defined as a water canopy. Much of this water canopy was rained down upon the earth in the days of Noah, which we address in more thorough detail in the Noah section of the Genesis series. Critics of the Bible practically jump out of their seats to challenge. If this were true, then where's all the water? Three simple points force them back into their chairs in defeat. Number one, if the earth were smooth like a ball, the water would sit at a depth of 2 miles above the ground. Number two, geologists know that the world's oceans are 400 feet higher than they were in ancient days. That's some of the water. Number three, so where is the rest? Consider this excerpt from the God Said, Man Said feature, Geologists Floored by Water Rock. The headline in the AFP press release reads, Earth has a secret reservoir of water, say scientists. Excerpts follow. 150 years ago, in Journey to the Center of the Earth, French science fiction writer Jules Verne pictured a vast sea that lay deep under our planet's surface. Today, that strange and haunting image has found an unexpected echo in a scientific paper. Writing in the journal Nature, scientists on Wednesday said they have found an elusive mineral pointing to the existence of a vast reservoir deep in Earth's mantle, 400 to 600 kilometers, that's 250 to 375 miles, beneath our feet. It may hold as much water as all the planet's oceans combined, they believe. The evidence comes from a water-loving mineral called ringwoodite that comes from the so-called transition zone sandwiched between the upper and lower layers of Earth's mantle, they said. Hans Kepler, a geologist at the University of Beirut in Germany, cautioned against extrapolating the size of the subterranean water find from a single sample of ringwoodite. He also said the water was likely to be locked up in a specific rock in a molecular form called hydroxyl. In some ways, it is an ocean in Earth's interior and visualized by Jules Verne, although not in the form of liquid water, Kepler said in a commentary also published by Nature. The implications of the discovery are profound, Pearson suggested. Psalms 33:7, he gathered the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Kepler speaks of water that is locked up in specific rocks, even as Job, arguably the oldest book of the Bible, records in chapter 38, verse 30. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Thousands of years before man's latest discoveries, God is already there, a God who knows the end from the beginning, end of quote. Feature number five, he made the stars also. On the fourth day of creation, Genesis 1:14 through 19 records that God says, let there be lights in the firmament. On this 24-hour day, God created the sun, the moon, and all the stars of the universe, and somehow everything seems to address the needs of man, something science knows as the anthropic principle. The late Dr. Dwayne T. Gish wrote relating to the anthropic principle in his book, The Amazing Story of Creation from Science in the Bible. Dr. Gish writes, there are many, many things that have to be just right on the earth or life could not exist. If the earth were just a little bit closer to the sun, it would be too hot for life to exist. If the earth were a little bit farther away from the sun, it would be too cold. All the water on the earth would be frozen solid and there would be no life. Water is absolutely essential for life, and on the earth we have 350 million cubic miles of water. But there is not a single drop of liquid water anywhere else in the solar system. There is no liquid water on Mars, Venus, Mercury, or anywhere else, only on Earth. Ozone is produced from oxygen. The molecules of oxygen in our atmosphere have two atoms of oxygen, But in ozone, the molecules of oxygen have three atoms of ozone. The ultraviolet light from the sun changes some of the ordinary molecules of oxygen with two atoms of oxygen into ozone with three atoms of oxygen. Now, ozone has a very special property. Ozone absorbs ultraviolet light, so much of ultraviolet light that it can't get through it. But there is a problem with ozone. It is poisonous. And just where is this ozone? Right where it might be to protect the Earth from ultraviolet light. Ozone is found in the layer surrounding the Earth about 10 miles above the surface, where it can absorb and filter out the ultraviolet light from the sun without messing up things down here on Earth. The kind of light that plants need for energy and growth is visible light, the kind of light that can pass right through ozone. So ozone is perfect. It keeps out deadly, destructive ultraviolet light, but it lets life-giving visible light pass through, and it is high up in the atmosphere exactly where it needs to be to do the job. Continuing the theme of Just Right, Gish writes about the sun, the Earth, and the sun and the Earth's axis. This is what he said. The axis of rotation of the Earth is not straight up and down in relation to the Earth, but is tilted at an angle of 23.5 degrees. That is a line drawn from the south pole of the Earth through the north pole. It's not perpendicular to a line drawn from the sun to the Earth. The angle between the axis of rotation of the Earth and a line from the sun is 66.5 degrees, or 23.5 degrees less than 90 degrees. The very existence of that angle and the exact size of that angle are both very important. Under the conditions now existing on Earth, we could grow food on only a small part of the Earth if the angle of rotation was straight up and down. Most of Canada and other countries that are far away from the equator, either far to the north or far to the south, would have winter all year long. Large parts of the United States and many other countries would never get warm enough for food to grow. It is only because of the angle of the rotation of the Earth that we have summertime in Canada and the United States and other countries, which enables us to grow food in these places. Furthermore, 23.5 degrees is just the right angle to create a perfect difference between summer and winter. There are many, many other things on the Earth that have to be exactly the way that they are for life to exist. All those things just couldn't happen by accident. That is one reason why many scientists who don't believe the Bible still believe in creation. End of quote. What about the sun and the moon? Andy McIntosh, a visiting professor at Leeds and an adjunct professor at Mississippi State University, expounds on the anthropic handiwork of God and the perfect positioning of the earth, the sun, and the moon in his book Wonders of Creation. The sun shows remarkable design. Its surface temperature of 5,527 degrees centigrade, or 9,980 degrees Fahrenheit, is exactly right for radiating most of its energy in the visible spectrum. If the sun was slightly cooler, there would be less intense light, and the peak of the power felt would be in the infrared zone, and life as we know it could not be maintained. If the sun was slightly hotter, then the peak would be in the ultraviolet region, which would be very harmful for life. Earth is also in exactly the right position to receive the right amount of heat to sustain life. Closer to the sun, and the seas would evaporate. Farther out, and the seas would freeze. The sun's energy provided by fusion shows that the sun is not billions of years old. The evolutionary view of the sun's formation is that the sun can only have been undergoing fusion reactions for the last 5 billion years, and in its supposedly early evolution, it was a much fainter star. However, if that were true, then the sun would have had no power to support life, the faint young sun paradox. For the biblical timescale with a 6,000-year-old Earth, this is not an issue. Everything points to a sun being made precisely and positioned exactly for Earth to sustain life. The true science of the solar system agrees with Genesis. Everything is really showing that the moon is created and that its position, size, almost circular orbit, and the fact that it is approximately 400 times smaller than the sun but is 400 times closer than the sun, and thus total eclipses can take place, are all indicating that the moon is designed perfectly for its function. As Lesser admitted in an article in Nature in 1997, it's not easy to make the moon. If man cannot, by natural processes, explain the closest celestial object without creation, how can he speak of the most distant objects with any authority? The moon has a cycle of 28 days and is thus used, as Genesis states, for signs and for seasons, in particular the lunar month. Though astrology and worship of the moon is wrong, it is noteworthy that many cultures, such as the Mayans of South America, could predict with great accuracy not only eclipses of the sun, but also of the moon, end of quote. The Genesis account written by Dr. Jonathan D. Sarvati makes this statement concerning the lesser light. Once again, we have the lesser light rather than explicitly the moon. The moon is actually largely black because much of its surface is covered with basalt, but it looks white in the sky because it shines by reflected sunlight. The moon is a remarkable satellite. Its gravity is vital for life on Earth because it is the main cause of the tides. They cleanse the oceans, shorelines, and help keep the ocean current circulating, preventing the ocean from stagnating. They benefit man by scouring out shipping canals and diluting sewage discharges. In some places, people exploit the enormous energy of the tides to generate electricity, end of quote. The Bible teaches that the sun and moon would be the Earth's chronometers. John Hudson Tyner makes the following observations in his book, Exploring the World of Mathematics. Ancient people quickly saw that the moon could be a celestial timekeeper. The moon passed from a particular phase, such as full moon, back to the same phase in about 29.5 days. The word month comes from the word moon. A month was convenient for measuring longer periods of time. The United States and Canada have four distinct seasons: winter, spring, summer, and autumn. The time from one season to the next was about 3 moons or 3 months. People could also plan events for those nights when the moon was full. The harvest moon was the full moon, falling closest to the first day of autumn, about September 21. It gave farmers light to gather crops at night. A year is actually due to the motion of the earth. During a year, the earth makes a complete trip around the sun. A person who is 12 years old has gone around the sun 12 times. A person with an average life expectancy will travel around the sun 72 times in his or her lifetime, end of quote. Genesis 1:19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Isaiah 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. This is the anthropic principle in God's creation process. Jeremiah 33:22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me. Centuries ago, the skeptics would have railed on the Bible's claim that the host of heaven cannot be numbered. According to 15th century astronomer Hugh Beig, there were 994 stars in the heavens. He had cataloged heaven's inventory by counting the stars he could see from his observatory in Samarkand, Uzbekistan. Today's cosmologists understand that the stars actually cannot be numbered and estimate that there are approximately 200 sextillion stars. From the start, God has been telling us that the stars cannot be numbered by man. This was a very quick summary of the first five features of the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. One major God-inspired truth after another. But only those with eyes to see can see. For those of you who have yet to be born again, click on the Further with Jesus for your second set of eyes. God said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God said, Proverbs 30, verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. God said, Isaiah 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Man said, "Where are all the God-inspired truths in Genesis? Quickly, point them out to me." Now you have the record.